The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
We gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awaken desire, burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river. Standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of prayer. Your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers into the wounds left by the nails, put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, look at my hands. Put your hand into my side, no more disbelief, believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll, but these things are written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you would have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the evening of that first Easter day, 10 of the disciples and perhaps others were gathered behind locked doors because they were terrified of the police and of being arrested and possibly executed. Their leader had been executed by the government, and they certainly feared that they, his followers, would be next. According to the Gospel of John, the risen Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene that morning, and now Jesus appeared to this group. The locked doors apparently did not keep him out of the room. Jesus showed the gathered disciples his hands and his side, and they believed. This was an incredible, amazing, world-changing event. As Dr. Jim Evans, professor and dean of Black Church Studies at my seminary, said, Jesus was dead. Dead. And then he rose from the dead. This is the core of our belief. Jesus came to earth in human form. He was crucified. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. Incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. But Thomas wasn't present. He didn't see the evidence. In the Gospels, we learn about the profession of many of the apostles, but not all. Clearly, four of them were fishing for a living. One was a tax collector. One was a zealot, which means a revolutionary. We don't know about the rest. So, since I can, I'm going to make an assumption. And my assumption is that Thomas was a scientist. He needed an empirical verification. I know a little bit about that, scientific inquiry. I used to do that for a living. Empirical verification. It's not true. You can't really believe the theoretical calculations until you have experimental data. Verified experimental data. That's what Thomas thought, and Thomas saw it, or so I claim. I'm sure you've all heard about black holes. There are, we believe, many of these in God's universe. Black holes are astronomical objects. When anything including light enters a black hole, it will never, ever, ever come out again. And my wife might say that my office at home is a black hole. I was amazed to discover that black holes were first predicted in 1764, predicted by John Michell, who was an astronomer, was a geologist, and was an Anglican rector. Let that sink in. The existence of black holes is a pretty unbelievable story. There were a number of excellent theoretical calculations supporting their existence in the two centuries after Father Michell. But it wasn't until Dr. Andrea Goetz published clear experimental proof of their existence that the scientific community was convinced. Andrea and two of her associates received the Nobel Prize in 2020. In science, at least, it isn't true without experimental empirical verification. Thomas would have been pleased, I believe. Thomas just wanted to have the experience that the other disciples had had a few days before. I don't know why some commentators and preachers have taken Thomas to task over the centuries, calling him a doubter, even an agnostic. And then they spin tales to talk about the problems of today's churches. It makes no sense to me. Thomas was a faithful disciple, a stalwart among the followers of Jesus, perhaps more serious and focused than some of the others, or so Scripture seems to say. He did not deny Peter. He did not deny Jesus as Peter did. He did not seek self-aggrandizement as James and John did. Matthew, Mark, and Luke say very little about Thomas. In John, however, he appears four times, and we learn of his true character. The first time we meet Thomas, Jesus decides to go to Judea to see Lazarus. The other disciples desperately try to talk Jesus out of this plan. A foolish plan, they thought, because Lazarus had already died, but also because it is dangerous, they said. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Thomas, however, says to the others, Let us also go, that we may die with him. It might not be the most encouraging or hopeful thing anybody's ever said, but it was brave. What Thomas is saying is, we belong with Jesus, no matter what the cost, and the cost, no doubt, will be high. Thomas was a faithful disciple and serious. There is a great deal to like about Thomas, a great deal to admire. He asks for what he needs. He asks for what he deserves. But more so, he asks for what Jesus had already promised him. For what Jesus promises every believer, Thomas had a good memory. Back in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read, quote, "When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am going, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going," end quote. Thomas asked, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How could we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you will know how. You will know him and have seen him." Show us the way. We don't know the way. Show us the way. Perhaps this is when Thomas began to believe, to truly believe. Thomas' questioning and his doubts are not without precedent in the gospel. In the first chapter of John, we read that Philip, a new disciple, said to Nathanael, quote, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" Nathanael doubted. The Samaritan woman at the well doubts Jesus in the fourth chapter of John. Dr. Jamie Clark Soule, seminary professor and Baptist minister, points out that in Thomas, we see the pattern of Christian discipleship established from the beginning of John. One person encounters Jesus. Then they share their experience with the next person, who may express some reluctance. Then that person experiences Jesus on their own, directly, and becomes convinced about him, and then shares the news about Jesus with the next person. Andrew tells Peter, Philip tells Nathanael, the Samaritan woman tells the townspeople. "Come and see," is the refrain. And in chapter 20, on seeing the tomb is empty, Mary says, "Sir, if you are carrying him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Bearing Nathanael's skepticism and Mary's broken heart, Thomas needs more. Thomas sees the risen Jesus, sees his wounds to his hand and to his side. Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is Lord and God. This is the only time the Gospels call Jesus God. This is arguably the climactic moment in the gospel. Within a few decades, all of those who saw Jesus after the resurrection are gone. We are left with the challenge of believing, of trusting the story, and of those telling the story of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Trusting is hard. Trusting what we hear is hard. Let me close with a few words from Richard Rohr. Quote, "The Easter feast is a reminder to all of us to open our eyes and our ears and to witness what is happening all around us, all the time, everywhere. God's one and only job description is to turn death into life. That's what God does with every new springtime, every new life, every new season, every new anything. God is the same who always turns death into life, and no one who trusts in this God will ever be put to shame." Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God," and we respond, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah."
Come and let us sing for joy. Let us praise and shout aloud to to worship you. Lord, we bow our hearts in awe. By your love redeemed, we are yours and your God. Your salvation is our song. Now we can stand silent, we will sing how great is your love for us and great are the things you've done and great is the offer.
Journey of faith. All are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamessKAN.org.